Revelation chapter 12. I'm taking the title for the message from what's said in verse 11. Revelation 12, verse 11. And they overcame him, the accuser, the devil, that old serpent, Satan. They overcame him, not because they were strong, not because the sinner has any power. They overcame him by the means God has ordained, by the blood of the Lamb. By the blood of the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the Lamb of God. The word of their testimony, Christ crucified, is all our salvation. And because they loved him, they love him because he first loved us. They loved not their lives unto death. They loved the Lord Jesus Christ. And they died in faith, believing the Lord Jesus Christ. Overcoming. Overcoming by the blood. Overcoming by the blood of the Lamb. We cannot defeat our spiritual enemies by the energy of the flesh. By the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified. We cannot defeat our spiritual enemies by the deeds of the flesh, but with the Lord Jesus Christ, by the energy of his sovereign almighty power, by the strength and energy of his redeeming blood, by his complete atonement for our sin, by his energy energizing, and by his honoring the law of God for us, we have overcome all our enemies. Sin, death, hell, and the grave. Our Lord said, because I live, you shall live also. We are more than conquerors. You remember Romans 8:37. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us and gave himself for us. We only overcome by Christ and him crucified. Overcome the law of God. He satisfied that law of God in precept and in penalty. He honored the law of God for us. Therefore, we can say with the Apostle Paul, as he writes in 1 Corinthians 15 about the glorious resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, he says, in our resurrection in him, thanks be unto God who has given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We overcome him, our sin, death, hell, the curse of the law. He's redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. Now, let's review for just a moment. Last week we learned the woman here in Revelation 12 represents the church, the body, the bride of Christ, through whom the incarnate Lord came. In the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law to redeem them that were under the law. We also learned how the great red dragon, that is the devil, Satan and his followers, were ready to devour the incarnate Lord, the man-child, as soon as he was born. All their plans were defeated. We also saw how Satan and his demon angels were cast out of heaven down to the earth. We learned something in verse 4 of Revelation 12 of Satan's rebellion against God, how he led a rebellion against God, and one-third of his angels, that is one-third of the angels, followed Satan's rebellion. Now they're fallen angels cast out into the earth. We read last week from Jude, verse 6, the angels which kept not their first estate, but were cast down, cast out of God's presence. From the Lord's incarnation in the flesh, Satan's object was to destroy the body of the Lord Jesus Christ at his birth. But we know all of Satan's designs, plans, and wishes were all defeated. Satan foolishly thought he had conquered the Lord at Calvary, but rather it was Satan's defeat, not the Lord's defeat. Calvary and the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ was all the ultimate design of the Lord. Remember in chapter 13, Revelation 13, verse 8, we see and we read about the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. So the Lord Jesus Christ and him crucified was all part of God's ultimate design the Lord to put away our sin by the sacrifice of himself and to accomplish our salvation and defeat Satan's dominion. Now, let me read this to you. I think we read this last week. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 and 15, "For as much then as the children were partakers of flesh and blood, he himself," that is the Lord Jesus Christ, "is called the captain of our salvation," in Hebrews 2, "likewise took part of the same," the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, "that through death," that is the death of Christ and him crucified, "he might destroy him that had power of death," that is the devil, "and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject unto bondage." So what did the Lord Jesus Christ do? He destroyed him that had the power of death, or who had brought sin into this picture. From the Lord's incarnation, Satan's object was to destroy the Lord Jesus Christ, but the Lord Jesus Christ destroyed his dominion. His dominion. Now look at verse 5. Verse 5, Revelation 12. "And she brought forth the man-child." Had to. This is God's Christ, his anointed. "Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh." She brought forth that man-child. He was born of our bones, flesh of our flesh, a real man, but yet God Almighty, who is to rule all nations with a rod of iron. He shall reign forever and ever. And he was caught up, having accomplished all God's purpose in saving us, honoring the law of God, redeeming us from our sin. He was caught up to the throne of God. And there he sits today, the God-man mediator, sitting actually, literally, on the throne of God as our mediator, as our intercessor right now. Right now. The glorious ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ, when he by himself purged our sin, he sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. He became obedient, even obedient to the death of the cross. "Wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at that name every knee should bow, every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord." Look at verse 6. Revelation 12, "The woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God." The Lord ascended back to glory, but we still live in this wilderness. But God prepared a place for us, that they should feed her, the church, this 1260 days. Once the Lord accomplished our salvation, Satan now has turned his rage once again against the church. And that's what this warfare is about. Look at verse 13 and 14, Revelation 12. "When the dragon saw it, he was cast unto the earth. He persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child, and the woman was given two wings of a great eagle to fly away, and she was protected by the Lord." Although Satan is defeated, his dominion is foiled, he's not completely out of business. He has great hatred for the Lord's church and for the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's vented out against his people. When Peter writes in 1 Peter 5, he said, "Casting all your care upon him, and do so, because there is a roaring lion going about seeking to whom he may devour." And he's still going about seeking whom he may devour. Thank God that we're not left alone. The Lord prepared a place for the woman to abide under the sheltering wings of the Savior, where he leads us and feeds us by the great chief and good shepherd. You remember Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." God shall supply all our need according to his riches in glory through the Lord Jesus Christ. The last part of verse 6, when it mentions the 1260 days, it's the same as the 42 months. It's the same as the 3.5 years. And all represent the gospel age, these last days, from the first coming of the Lord to his second. We are living in the last days and the last time. Perilous time shall come. Now notice the place where the Lord has prepared for His people to dwell in is a place where they are fed the word of truth. They desire the milk of the word that they might grow thereby. We feed upon the sincere milk of the word, that they should feed her all these days in this gospel age. Now, in verse 7 and following, 7, 8, and 9, we see Satan is defeated and cast out. His goals and ambitions are not realized or fulfilled. Now, this war that's spoken of here in verse 7 is not to be understood in a literal sense that there was a war in God's heaven that is a place of God's abode. Heaven is a place of joy and peace, not war, confusion, and turmoil. Remember, Satan had already been cast out of heaven in verse 3 and verse 4. Satan is hurled down and cast out in this sense. He lost his place as the accuser of the brethren because the Lord Jesus Christ has made complete atonement for our sin. Therefore, Satan has nothing whereby he may accuse us. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who is he that condemneth? It's Christ died. Christ that has died. He rather is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God. It is true that he is an accuser, and that is his evil work that he loves to accuse, but in reality, our mediator, our advocate, our intercessor ever lives to intercede for us. Now, I can give you two examples I thought of how Satan yet tries to attack God's people and God's church. Remember Peter when they were arguing about who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Peter made several boasts. And then he said, the Lord said to Peter, Satan had desired to have you that he may sift you like wheat. You remember? But what did the Lord say? I prayed for you that your faith fail not. So there is an accuser. He would accuse us. And Peter had that experience. But Satan did not overcome him because the Lord Jesus Christ stood as his surety and in his Savior. And then I thought about this other example. The Apostle Paul, when he writes, don't turn, let me read it to you. When he writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, you remember what he writes? He says, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelation, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me. You see, he can buffet us. He may desire to have us and sift us. But lest I should be exalted above measure, this thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Rest upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Now look at verse 7 again. There was a war in heaven. I want to consider this as a warfare in the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven, which is right here, right now in God's church. There was a war or a warfare in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought and his angels. Now, most of the commentators that I read after, and I read after some good ones, I think, John Gill and Robert Hawker and others, most of the commentators believe the angel here, named Michael, is another name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the reason that we think that is because the name means one who is of God. Now, throughout the Old Testament and New, the Lord Jesus Christ is known by many different names. Many different names. I did a series of messages years ago, started with A, all the way through the alphabet, considering all the different names of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it was a series of about 7 or 8 messages, considering all the names of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Michael here is another name For the Lord Jesus Christ, we know that he is the eternal Son of God, one who is of God, one who is God. The Lord Jesus Christ is known by many names, different names in Scripture that describe his person and his work. For example, Isaiah 9, his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. He is the Prince of Peace. So he's known by many names. And I think Michael here is just another name for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this battle against the Lord's church is a spiritual warfare with spiritual weapons that's going on right now. That's why I read over there in Ephesians 6, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So it's a spiritual warfare that's going on. Now, I want you to turn and read this one with me. Turn over here to 2 Corinthians 10. When Paul writes about this warfare that we're involved in, the flesh against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. In 2 Corinthians 10, this will help us here, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3. We don't war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Above all, taking the sword of the Spirit, remember we read, which is the Word of God. Verse 5 says, casting down imaginations, every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. We don't use carnal means and carnal weapons. It's the spiritual things that God has given us in the gospel of Christ. Now, look at verse 8. Revelation 12, verse 8. So there's a warfare. There's a warfare in God's kingdom, in God's church. And the dragon, the devil, the old serpent, and Satan, verse 8, prevailed not. They did not win. They did not get the victory. God's people and God's Christ has won the victory for us. Neither was their place found anymore. The Lord is always victorious over all enemies, including the chief accuser of the brethren. Satan cannot prevail, neither does he have any place to launch his vicious attacks against us. He has nothing wherewith to accuse us with. There's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Now look at verse 9. This is the fulfillment of the promise to This was the fulfillment of promise that God had given in Genesis 3:15. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, Satan, which deceiveth the whole world, that is, everybody but the elect of God, they're deceived. And he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. This is the fulfillment of that promise given in the garden, when the woman's seed, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, the man-child, would crush Satan's dominion, and was completely fulfilled at Calvary when the Lord Jesus Christ put away all our sin. Now, this is critical. This is a critical point right here. Turn to John chapter 12. I want you to see this and mark it in your Bible. What happened at Calvary was the fulfillment of what was promised when judgment fell upon the Lord Jesus Christ for our sin and Satan was put out of business. And the Lord tells us about it here in John chapter 12. Look at verse 31. John 12, 31. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world, talking about Satan, the god of this world, the prince of this world, is cast out. Now, when did that happen? And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all unto me. Leave out the word men, it's been added. Will draw all the elect unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. When did judgment fall on Satan? When Christ was crucified. It crushed his dominion. Now, look at verse 10, 11, and 12. Here we see the threefold effect of the Lord's complete atonement for our sin and the victory he won for us and the demise of Satan's dominion. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now salvation come, because Christ had died. Christ had put away our sin. Now is salvation come. Now is strength, power come. And the kingdom of our God, now the kingdom of our God is come. And the power of his Christ. I love that statement. The power of the Christ. The power of the Christ, of his Christ. For the accuser of the brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. Now let's take a minute or two and look at those things found in verse 10 and verse 11. Salvation, we know, salvation is come. Salvation is never presented in the scripture as a possibility or as something that might happen or might not happen depending upon what sinners do. It says in the texture, now is salvation come. The Savior is here. The Savior has accomplished salvation. Now is salvation come. Salvation is the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ on our behalf. Peter writes about it this way, 1 Peter 3:18. Christ also suffered once for our sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us unto God. One sacrifice for sin he perfected forever, them that are sanctified. Call his name Jesus, he shall save his people from their sin. Satan was defeated by the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now here's another scripture that helps us understand that, how we overcome. Look at Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. And you, verse 13, Colossians 2:13, and you, being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross, having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them himself. In it is himself, the marginal reference has it. And that's a better rendering of that verse. The Lord Jesus Christ, look back at the text again, verse 10. Now is salvation come, because the Lord Jesus Christ has put away our sin. Now is come strength. You see that? Power. That's the same word that's used. That word strength is the same power that's used in Romans 1:16. Well, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believeth. Now is salvation come with power. With power. What kind of power does it take to raise a dead sinner and quicken him and make him a new creature in Christ? It takes almighty power. And that's what we have through the gospel. Now is salvation come because the Lord Jesus Christ has come. Now is salvation with power and the kingdom of our God. The kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of the brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Day and night. The believer's testimony, as it says there in verse 11, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. By the blood of the Lamb. You can't get away from that blood atonement of Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all our sin. The believer's testimony and witness is they have the victory over all enemies through the blood atonement of Jesus Christ, through the blood of the Lamb. Remember John said of the Lord Jesus, behold the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away our sin. We are redeemed with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. They overcome by the blood, the blood, the blood. Paul said, I'm determined to know nothing among you but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And they prove, believers prove the genuine character of their testimony in that they die in faith or in faithfulness to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. By the word of their testimony. What is the word of their testimony? Look at the last part of verse 17. Revelation 12, verse 17. Which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. What is the testimony of Jesus Christ? Our Lord said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. No man comes to the Father but by and through me. They overcome him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they love not their lives unto death. Now, look at verse 12. Therefore, rejoice. Therefore, rejoice. Be thankful, you heavens, and you that dwell in them. Those who dwell in Christ, those who are in Christ, and those who have Christ in them, we rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice in Him. We are the true Israel, which worship God in the Spirit, that rejoice in Christ Jesus, and we have no confidence in this flesh, do we? Our confidence is in Christ, the Christ of God. Therefore, rejoice, you heavens. Rejoice. Satan is defeated and he is filled with wrath. But rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, here's a flip side to that in verse 12. There is a woe. Woe unto the inhabitants of this earth and of this sea. For those who have no mediator, for those who have no Savior, for those who think, well, I'll just go and do it my own way, do my own thing, be the captain of my ship and the master of my fate, as the old saying goes, woe unto the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil's come down to you, having great wrath, because he knows that his time is short. He is on a short leash. Believers do rejoice. And the inhabitants of this world, those who are not found in Christ, woe unto them. Satan is defeated, but he's filled with wrath. He's not a happy loser. We read about it in Romans 16, where Paul writes about his end. The God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. One day soon, Satan and all of his friends will be forever silenced, and the rage against the church will be no more. Let's turn and read about it one more time. Revelation 19. Turn over there. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth. Verse 19. Revelation 19, 19. We're going to see about the beast out of the sea and the beast out of the earth. The beast and the false prophet. And the kings of the earth and their armies gather together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken with the false prophet that wrought miracle before him, which deceiveth them that had received the mark of the beast. You remember that number 666 in their hand and in their forehead? Those that had the mark of the beast that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. So we know that his end is short. He knows his end is short. And he's filled with great wrath, going about seeking whom he may devour. Look at verse 13. Revelation 12, verse 13. I'll wind this up. When the dragon saw, this is the devil, this is the Satan, this is the great red dragon, saw that he was cast out into the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child, and to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place where she is nourished for the 3.5 years from the face of the serpent. Satan, having failed to defeat Christ, continues to attack God's people, God's church, because they bring forth the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 14, the Lord graciously provides for His church during this relentless attack. The time in which the gospel church is persecuted by Satan and his followers, in which the church is preserved, protected, and nourished by God, were kept by the power of God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, given these two wings of a great eagle to fly away the place prepared by God. Again, it's symbolic language to know that the Lord sends His mercy and His grace, His love and His goodness that shall follow us all the days of our life. Remember David in Psalm 23, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. That could be the symbol of these two wings of a great eagle, goodness and mercy. Our Lord says this. You remember that Israel was in bondage in Egypt for 400 years, and how God delivered them through the blood of the Lamb, dividing of the Red Sea, and sustained them in that wilderness for 40 years with the bread that fell from heaven. And God says this in Exodus 19, verse 4. Let me read it to you. You have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. God did it in that day, 40 years. He provided for them bread from heaven, 6 days a week, the quails that came, water out of the rock, the manna that fell from heaven. They were nourished. And God does nourish us here in this wilderness where we live. The earth, it says there, the earth helped. Read verse 15. The serpent cast out of his mouth his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away with the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened up her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. Again, symbolic language. Satan cast out of his mouth a flood of vicious lies against the church to destroy it. It is a flood of heresies. Remember, the Lord called Satan the father of lies and a murderer. The earth, it says in verse 16, helped the woman, the church, that is the ungodly world, swallowed up the flood of heresy and the lies of the devil to the furtherance of the gospel. God will use whatever means it pleases Him to provide and protect His church. Even Satan's attacks against us work out for our eternal good. He comes with a vicious lie and heresies, and God caused the earth to open up and to swallow up all those lies. And the dragon, verse 17, the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed. That's the remnant of God's elect, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, how do believers keep the commandments of God? He's not talking about the law of Moses. He's talking about the command of the gospel. He commands us to believe the gospel, and by His grace we do, which keep the commandments of God, that is, believing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. They believe Him as all their salvation. This is His commandment, He says in John chapter 3. This is His commandment, that you should believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and love one another as He gave us commandments. We do keep the commandments. That's His commandment, to believe Him. And because we believe Him, believers have the testimony of Jesus Christ. The testimony, the witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to look at one scripture with me, thinking about the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. Find over here in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1. It talks about a testimony here. The testimony of Jesus Christ. And here we have a description of it. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Look at verse 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord Jesus Christ, nor me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Now look at verse 9. Here it is. Who saved us according to the power of God. That's our testimony. He saved us. He called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace given us in the Lord Jesus Christ before the foundation of the world. That's our testimony. God, by God's own purpose and God's own grace, he saved us, he called us according to his purpose and grace given to us in Christ before the foundation of the world. That's my testimony. That's the testimony of every believer. The dragon was wroth with a woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God, and they have the testimony of Jesus Christ. He's all our salvation. He's all our hope.